Morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Now, except the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions, one man has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat, and let him not who does... And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Amen. So chapter 14 is continuing his whole point and idea about, because, again, we're justified, right, by faith, and now it's deemed righteousness on our behalf. So what does this mean? How do we live a life now? What should our actions, our attitudes, and our thoughts be like? And so he continues on, and in chapter 14, he talks about the principles of conscience, you know, and he's leading people to kind of a course of thought, right? And so he first says, and this is the real main point, right, in verse 1, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. You know, and so he's talking to the mature Christian, right? And he's saying, look, basically, you don't want to be used as a stumbling block. You know, just accept whoever is weak in faith, and just kind of move on. When he's talking about food and drink and all these things, right, the primary issue here is actually food that has been sacrificed to idols. You have to understand that the Roman Christians here, this was a huge dilemma for them, because most of the meat that was available, in the marketplace was meat that had been offered up to idols. You know, and it was just a very customary thing, and it wasn't so much that they were used for a sacrifice, but it was just the custom of the day to offer this meat, and it was just kind of one of these things that these guys did, and they would offer it up to the idols. And so for a Christian, obviously it became a huge dilemma. Should I eat this? Later on, Paul will address this issue a little more in depth in the fact that if you're invited over to someone's house, to a pagan's house or to another Christian's house, and they may not be as mature or whatnot, and for sure, Right? And almost 100% you can guarantee that that food was sacrificed to an idol before it was brought, you know, before. I don't know if you're, I'm sure many of you guys are Koreans or Chinese, you would know certain traditions, you know. And to give you kind of a framework, when I was younger, you know, I mentioned to you that my family were Buddhists. And so my grandmother on my dad's side was a really strong Buddhist. And so my dad kind of grew up that way. And so, you know, in the anniversary of, you know, of my grandparents', you know, death, you know, we would have a tea ceremony, you know, and what my mom would do, she'd make a huge spread of food. I mean, just huge, right? You know, and just put all the fruits and everything. And then they would burn incense, and I had to like go down and I had to bow very ceremonially, you know, and then take the tea and put it over the incense, you know, and then we would eat the food, right? And so it's not like, you know, it's not like an idol came and ate the food. It's nothing like that. But the food was dedicated to, you know, to my grandparents, you know, and it was the whole idea, if I understand correctly, this ceremony, the whole idea is offering up something fragrant, you know, to our dead relatives so they could come down and basically spiritually eat with us. You know, and so obviously after we became a Christian, you know, we stopped doing that, you know, which I really enjoy because I hated the bowing process, right? It was very stringent, you know, and if I messed up, my dad made me do it again, right? Kind of stuff. And so, but that would be a very similar kind of idea, right? That they would offer up this food. Generally, the butchers would offer up this meat to the gods, right? And sometimes they would slice off a nice choice cut of it and burn it, you know, to the Lord. Very similar to what the Jews did, you know, in the Old Testament kind of stuff. And so now you're living here, you know, as a Roman Christian with a huge dilemma. You know, you like to eat meat, you know, but you know that your meat is in some way spiritually contaminated, right? And so then there's an issue in the church that's like, well, I only eat vegetables, you know, because I'm a righteous, godly kind of guy, right? And then someone else is like, well, you know, I eat meat because, you know, I'm good, you know, the Lord's, you know, good. And so there's this huge dissension that's risen up within the church. And so the key is, right, that these guys, well, in the beginning of 14, as Paul gets closer, the key is they're placing their faith on their own piety instead of their faith on God. And that's what Paul is addressing here, right? You know, it's not so much, you know, it's unto the Lord, but you know, we do that, right? We can take pride in our piety. You know, we could take pride, hey man, I just did, you know, a 21-day fast, right? Oh, really? I just did a 21-day juice fast. Really? I just did a 21-day water fast. Really? I didn't have anything for 21 days, you know? And so, even though we may not articulate, you know, so much, and I hope you don't, right? But we can see that pride in our heart, right? I mean, come on, let's be real, you know, about our own piety, you know, about the way that we're able to live our life or present our sacrifice before God. You know, and it's pretty clear. This is the central issue that is dealing with. And so look what Paul says. He says, look, don't judge anyone, first of all. You know, you're not, only God's the judge. And then the idea is to each his own, right? You know, if you have a conviction before God, then you run with it, right? But let it be a conviction before the Lord, right? Don't make up your own set of rules and regulations. You know, it's, you know, if this is a day, you know, is holy to you, all right. It's holy to you. If it's just like any other, okay, that's fine. You know, so the principle is to each his own. Let it be an issue of faith between you and God. Let it be a conviction between you and God. But he doesn't leave it that way now, right? So now he goes back and he goes, but don't let what you're doing become a stumbling block for somebody else. You know, and this is really the labor of love, right? And this is, you know, his real, you can see, you know, Paul's kind of thought process as he goes through. And we actually will carry it on. It's too bad it actually stops right here at 14 because beginning of 15 actually explains this a little more in depth. And he's basically saying, look, you know, don't let something that's good, right? Don't let something that's you know, even your own conviction, you know, why? Because you're mature, because you're spiritual, right? Don't let that be used as a stumbling block to someone who's weaker. You know, and so you know, it may seem like Paul's contradicting himself, but he's not, right? He's appealing to our maturity, right? You know, it's like, hey, since you're mature, just let it go, right? You know, I find myself doing this with my kids, right? You know, like Elise and Emma will be in some kind of conflict, and I'll always appeal to Elise. You know, I says, sweetie, you're older. You know, I can't say it publicly, right? Because Emma's saying right there, it's like, you're smarter, you're more mature, you know, but that's my point, right? You know, you're older. Can you just let it go this time? You know, because I'm appealing to her age and her maturity compared to her younger sisters. You know, and, you know, thankfully 80% of the time she says, okay, Emma, go ahead, you can have it, you know, whatnot. And Paul's kind of doing the same thing. He's appealing to people's maturity in the faith. You know, and it's kind of like, hey, you've been a Christian for a while. You know, you're more mature than this group that's having this dissension. Can you just let it go? Can you just back down? You know, can you just not eat the meat? I know there's nothing wrong with it, but just don't do it. You know, can you just not drink the wine? You know, can you just, you know, for the sake of your weaker brother, you know, can you just let it fly this time? And and this is really, how do I say? It's an issue of love more than anything else. You know, because, you know, we could be like this. We could stress our own agendas, you know. Imagine these guys arguing with Paul on this point, right? Let's say Paul goes to Rome and they start talking. I say, Paul, but you know what? I have a conviction from God that this is okay. So, you know, why can't I just operate out of that conviction from God? You know, and you could say Paul's saying, well, you're more mature. That's great you had that conviction. But can I ask you to love? You know, can I ask you to deny yourself, right? Which is the Christian ethos? You know what I mean? You know, can I ask you to die to yourself on this? I know you're right. You are principally correct that what you're doing, you know, is your own conviction, and that's fine. And, you know, there's no proof text, you know, scriptures that will back you up and everything. But can you, for the sake of your brother, right? Because, you know, our whole thing in this Christian life, you know, is not just for our own individual pursuit, right? You know, as a great British statesman, he said that the church is the only organization that actually exists for the welfare of its non-members. You know, the church exists not just for the members, right? But the church exists for the welfare of its non-members. You know, in other words, the lost, you know? And so, you know, in that case, can you just help, you know, people along this path to growth or to salvation by just denying yourself certain things, right? You know, as a pastor, I'm very aware of this, right? I mean, there are certain things as a conviction I have no issue with, you know? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, that are kind of gray, but I have a conviction that this is okay. I can involve myself. That's fine. But I choose not to, purely out of love, because I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody. You know what I mean? You know, I don't want to, you know, I mean, I could, you know, drive a much, much nicer car, right? You know, I mean, I could, you know, if I wanted to, and I have a conviction, yeah, sure, I want to keep my family safe, you know, and so, you know, it'd be nice to drive a safer, more expensive, you know, a car in that way. There's no problem, you know. I'm totally okay with God about this issue, and I know God's okay with me, but still, you know, when my wife and I were choosing a car, we made sure that it was something, you know, that was just, you know, that people can say, hey, man, what's that guy doing? You know, why is pastor driving that kind of car? You know what I mean? And stuff, and so, and it's a labor of love, you know. I mean, it's not like I have a junk, you know, either, right? I mean, it still works and everything, but you guys understand, you know, my point. And so, in this issue in Rome, right, the issue here was the meat sacrifice to idols, right, and it was the issue of drinking, right, which is also a religious ceremonial act, you know, that takes place, right? You know, the grapes offered, you know, to the gods, and, you know, and all these kind of things. And so, but how about in our context? What could it be like in our context, you know, today? What are some activities, you know, or some things that could be frowned upon, you know, in a certain way, right? I mean, I don't know. This is something for you to, you know, to decide. You know, obviously some, you know, obviously drinking is a big issue, you know, and stuff. And I'll tell you, you know, the bottom line for me, right, is that there's nothing wrong with drinking, okay? You guys just need to, right, scripturally, right, you know, the Bible doesn't really say much. You know, I mean, there's a few instances where he tells us, obviously, to refrain. The issue is being drunk, right? That's a huge one. But then Proverbs 31, right, Lemuel's mom seems to tell him and, you know, says, hey, you know, basically wine, drink, it's not fit for a king, right? And so, you know, we go through those by those principles, right? I think what happens more than anything else, you know, drinking because culturally we come from different cultures and whatnot, but I think the key is where you do it and why you're doing it. You know, drinking wine with your family, right, is probably a little different than having a drink at a nightclub. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? There is an appearance of evil, you know, that takes place there. And so, you know, all I want to say to the church is just be wise. You know what I mean? Just be wise, you know. You know, be aware of where you're at, you know, the setting by which where you're at. You know, yeah, drinking in itself, there's nothing sinful about it. I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. I mean, it's like, give me a break. You know, and I know a lot of conservative scholars want to say, well, it wasn't really wine. No, trust me, it was wine. You know, the guys, you know, how you could tell is the guys were drunk with the bad wine, you know, right? And so they gave us the good wine. And so, you know, I think they would know what, you know, fermented alcohol is, right? And things. And so, you know, and so you have to be aware, but, you know, but there could be certain things, you know, in our life, you know, that could maybe be, you know, an issue. I'll share one of my foibles with you. You know, the first year I was here, you know, I bought some software, you know, at in Wan Chai, right? You know, obviously it's a copy, you know, and I really didn't have much conviction, you know. I thought, oh, Bill Gates is a stinking billionaire, right? Sure, I could take some money from him, you know, and so it was, you know, even though it's still sin. And so that morning in morning prayer, I actually was preaching on integrity, right, in our morning prayer session. And then afterwards, there's a whole bunch of us. We went and, you know, back then it was kind of shady. I don't think they do it now anymore. But, you know, you went to the Wan Chai Computer Center. You know, you bought the disks that you need, you know, the Windows and everything. And then you had to meet the guy somewhere else, you know, to receive, you know, because they didn't want to get caught by the police. And, you know, then I must have realized this is pretty shady, right? You know, because, you know, you come to Hong Kong, you think, oh, this is just, you know, normal business, right? Just rampant kind of stuff. And so I did that. And so we're waiting outside of the center for the guy to come. And so we finally exchanged money and I got these pirated discs, right? You know, and then one of the girls said, hey, didn't you just speak on integrity this morning? I went, huh? Right, and I was like, oh, I was so embarrassed, you know. But it was like a blind spot. It was kind of like, oh, I thought this is normal business function, you know. Even though I kind of knew that this is not very correct to be doing something like that, right? But you know, this is something simple. Things like that could be a stumbling block, right, and stuff. And so, you know, I just want you to know, as a policy at church, all of our software is bought. Right, so we have all the licenses. This is a huge thing, right? So we had to reprimand Kenny many times because, you know, he's a pirate freak and stuff. So, but he's reformed and he's right with God now in that area, and the churches as well. But you know, it's sometimes very easy to blur the lines in some ways, and then you never know when you're going to get challenged on it, right? And things. And so, you know, I mean, that was, you know, a very embarrassing moment for myself. And I learned a huge lesson in that, right? You know, that basically people are watching, you know, they're examining, they're looking at our lives, right? Looking at my life, and make sure that we live above reproach in the things that we do. I think that's, you know, that's a no-brainer, you know. And Paul, he's appealing to us in our maturity. Obviously, you know, like, you know, I say this, you know, to the church, right? If you're young in the faith, I don't really expect much from you. You know, I mean, I expect you to grow and to learn and things like that. But if you've been around a while, I expect a lot from you. You know, and I think that's healthy, right? You know, I mean, if, you know, you just look at, like, children as they grow up, you know. I mean, if Elise, you know, becomes 12 years old, and I got to still, you know, wipe her butt, you know, after she goes to the toilet, I'm in big trouble. You know what I mean? I mean, we should expect, you know, and we do. We naturally expect things from our kids. You know, if even now, you know, Elisa's six, and I got to feed her at dinner, you know what I mean? It's like ridiculous. She should be at a place where she could feed herself. And I think we would all agree to that, you know, in the natural. But how about in the spiritual things, right? We have to grow up. And part of that growing up involves sacrifice, you know, in these kind of things. So let's close our eyes. I mean, tomorrow, not tomorrow, Tuesday, right, when we get to 15, Paul will continue this thought even more grander, right, and so we can understand a little bit more. And so let's close our eyes and sort of sum up, because there's so much in this chapter, right? To each his own, right? But let the conviction be from the Lord. Let us not operate out of our own piety, but let us operate out of faith. But in the liberty that you have, let it not be used as a stumbling block to someone who is weaker. And because you are more mature, live righteously. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Could there be an area of your life? Could there be something in your life right now that maybe the Lord is convicting you of? And ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you in regards.
Hello.
pray this morning. Let's pray for ourselves, and let's pray for our body, our community. Let's pray that we would operate out of our conscience, that we'd operate out of the conviction of God in our lives. And as we continue to grow in maturity, that, you know, as the Lord would ask us to lay down and sacrifice, that we would just be obedient to what He asks. Because the whole purpose, the whole point, right, is for others to come to know Him. You know, I heard a pastor a long time ago said, you know, we will worship for eternity, right? We will grow in knowledge for eternity. You know, I mean, all these things that we long for. We'll fellowship with God and one another for eternity. But we only have one lifetime to win the lost. Only one opportunity. And so let's give ourselves to that. Let's pray. Pray for our community that's in need. Let's continue to lift up Hyge's uncle, Matthew's and Connie's aunts, Kian's mom, and Chris Lee's aunt. Let's continue to thank God for Lizzie's brain tumor that's disappeared. Pray for recovery from her operation. Let's pray for Alex's dad and people that are going through chemo. He needs to gain weight very soon as he's lost a lot of weight and his appetite. And so let's continue to lift him up before God. He has an appointment tomorrow, early morning, Hong Kong time. And so let's pray that the meeting with the doctor would be successful. Let's pray for my aunt and Jin's mom and aunt and Janine Basaraba, who finished her chemo. Let's just lift them up. Let's lift up family members that are sick, but more importantly, that need that word of salvation in their life. Let's also pray for those Lunsford who had a stroke and Benji with an allergy. Let's also pray for the ones that are looking for work, that God would open the doors and just really bring His peace and His provision over their lives. And let's just lift them up before God. Thank you. Let's pray for our missions focus and our local ministries. Let's pray for the churches here in Hong Kong, especially this weekend as they go before the Lord. Let's pray for the Chinese churches, the international churches, the ethnic churches. Let's pray for YWAM, for Sports Services International, Shanty Ministries, and Masters Beauty. Pray for Face-to-Face and Zhengxin College, Feed the Hungry, and CSW Worldwide. Let's also pray, as we pray for Hong Kong and the ministries here, let's pray for the Bill Johnson Conference that's starting tonight and going out throughout this weekend. Let's pray for just the glory of God, just the fall at the convention center during this time. Let's just lift up. Pray for our church ministries. Let's lift up the worship team, and the leaders, the sound and media team, the welcoming hospitality, and the barista ministry. All right, these guys serve so well every Sunday, and so let's ask the Lord to just continue to place His hand upon them, that they would serve with diligence, with excellence, and with all their hearts, purity before God. And so let's ask God to just move upon them. Let's pray for McCain House Church tonight, and let's just lift up our weekend before God. There is an IP meeting this weekend. There's a premarital counseling meeting on Sunday night. Obviously, our two services on Sunday. Let's just ask the Lord to just continue to move upon every gathering, right, every meeting as the people of God gather here at SP. That the presence of God would come and there would be a conviction of sin. There would be a real heart after God just pouring over. And so let's just lift up this weekend before the Lord. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity you give to us as a body to come together, God. We have a full weekend in store. Lord, we just ask, God, that you would come, God, and in each service, Lord, in each gathering, in each outreach, Lord, that you would speak life, God, through all the participants, Lord, and out of our service, God, that we would learn more about you, about each other, Father. And so we just commit this weekend to you, God, and we ask you to move in our midst, God. We pray particularly for conference, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would just touch the people of Hong Kong, Lord, with your power, with your might, Lord. We just thank you. Watch over us, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great weekend, right? And we'll see you guys on Sunday.